Areena.
On this week's show, we'll bring you the latest from Finland's Russian border.
You arrived to Finnish border. You cannot say that I'm fleeing because of the war and because I might be drafted.
We hear about Iranians in Finland protesting against the treatment of women in Iran.
This gives me hope that people are now united and chanting together that they don't want to let the dictator make decisions for them anymore.
And we follow up on a story that's really gripped our listeners' attention, learning Finnish in Finland.
Well, I think what you probably have to do is you have to develop a certain level of Finnish that allows you to keep the conversation going even when people switch to English.
On 29 September 22, the Finnish government issued a resolution to significantly restrict the entry of Russian tourists into Finland.
Hello and welcome to All Points North. I'm Ronan Brown.
I'm Zina Ivino.
And that was Pekka Haavisto, Finland's foreign minister, in that clip you just heard, announcing moments before we came on air that Finland will significantly restrict the entry of Russian citizens into the country.
The announcement comes in the days following what some international media outlets are calling Baltic brinkmanship. That is, the suspected sabotage of Nord Stream.
Yes, the Nord Stream gas pipeline is leaking into the Baltic Sea following four underwater explosions earlier this week.
Ronan, have you seen the video showing boiling seas above broken Nord Stream pipelines?
Yes, I have. And I have to say, they're pretty disturbing. Some news reports have described the leaks to the Russian-built pipe network as unparalleled.
We've also covered news of how the authorities in different countries are saying that the leaks were no accident, including the Finnish government. The EU has said sabotage was behind the leaks, but did not directly accuse Russia. And we heard the Finnish Security and Intelligence Service, Supo, this morning say that a state actor had to be behind the explosions.
While Swedish and Danish waters are mostly impacted by the leaks, scientists also detected explosions in Finland's territorial waters. So Finland has said it will be closely following and discussing the matter with Sweden and Denmark. Police are also now investigating the explosions as aggravated sabotage.
Speaking at a press conference on Wednesday evening, Prime Minister Sanna Marin pledged support to Denmark and Sweden.
I have contacted Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson today, and also our ministers has contacted their counterparts, and we have discussed the situation together. Of course, we have told that we will support Sweden and Denmark any way that we can, and our officials are also surveilling the situation in Finnish sea areas and economic areas as well very closely. We are in very close contact with our neighbours and want to support any way we can.
And in addition to offshore worries, there has also been considerable domestic and international interest in Finland's southeastern border, which has seen a brisk flow of Russians crossing into Finland.
Yes, exactly. Since Russia announced its partial mobilization of reservists last week, some 50,000 Russian citizens have entered Finland. Many media outlets have noted that this is a 100% increase compared to the previous week.
The fact that Finland's border has been open to Russian tourists has caused some consternation, both at home and abroad.
Indeed. And a citizens' initiative aimed at changing Finland's policy on this issue this week reached the necessary 50,000 signatures for it to progress to Parliament. The initiative was entitled, "The Entry of Citizens of Countries Waging a War of Aggression Should Be Prevented by Halting the Issuing of New Visas and by Cancelling the Ones Already Issued."
And as we said earlier, just before coming on air on this Thursday afternoon, Foreign Minister Haavisto announced that Finland is significantly restricting the entry of Russian tourists from Friday. That's the 30th of September.
Let's listen to the rest of that clip.
The entry restrictions will enter into force on 30th September 22, midnight, and they will remain in force until further notice. The aim of the resolution is to halt Russian tourism into Finland and transit through Finland to other Schengen countries. In the resolution, the government notes that the entry of Russian citizens in tourist purposes into Finland endangers Finland's international relations. Thank you.
But of course, all of this just goes to show that there is considerable interest in what is going on at Finland's border with Russia.
There certainly is. And so to get a better understanding of exactly what has been going on, I spoke with Matti Pitkänniitty. He's the head of the International Affairs Unit with the Finnish Border Guard. And I first asked him why he thinks the border situation is garnering so much attention.
I think people are looking at the percentage increase, and that scares them. And also we see pictures from Georgian borders where you have tens of kilometers of queues waiting for the border. However, this is not the case in the Finnish border. These numbers from last weekend, 8,500, prior to COVID, they were regular weekday numbers that we saw at the eastern border. So nothing special on that sense. Our capacity is well suited for this kind of traffic. Our infrastructure is well on to this kind of traffic. So in a border management sense, there is no urgency in controlling this kind of masses at the border. It's business as usual.
But of course, this sudden spike in entries into Finland from across the eastern border coincided with Russia's partial mobilization of reservists, and that has sparked a number of different debates.
The issue of Finland's national security has been at the forefront of these discussions, with many questioning if sufficient background checks are being carried out on the new arrivals.
Yeah, and I asked Matti about that as well. He said that border officials do carry out extensive checks, not just of documents and visas, but they also take fingerprints, they run background checks, and they examine the person's onward travel plans. And he said that's just one link in the overall chain.
You have to think of the security as sort of an onion-like thing. The first layer is the visa process, where we check that is the person even eligible to come for even tourist reasons. Then it's the border checks. And even inside the country and inside the Schengen area, we have the police organizations, we have the intelligence organization, and we all work together, checking all the time that everything should be under good order. So the border is not the first and the last point. It's one point in the big chain. And for that sense, I don't worry myself too much that these people may not use their visas correctly.
Recent events have also sparked discussions about whether Finland should build fences at the eastern border.
The border is, of course, 1,300 kilometers long, so some assessments have indicated that a fence running the entire length is not feasible. However, the Finnish Border Guard has suggested that fences could be placed at critically sensitive points to prevent any unauthorized crossings.
Finland's Interior Minister, Krista Mikkonen, said this week that the government should seriously consider the proposal, so I asked Matti if this fence would be a good solution from the Border Guard's point of view.
The fence itself, it won't be silver bullet solving all the problems anytime, everywhere. But it is essential in this kind of threat environment. And we have seen quite a big change in the last 10 years when you start thinking backwards what it was in the beginning of last decade. We've seen, of course, the migration crisis 2015-16. We got a lot of migrants also from the Russian side to Finland. Then we have seen really difficult cases of where migrants are used as a tool or even as a weapon, like in Belarus-Polish border a year ago. And that kind of threats were not there in the beginning of this millennium. So world has evolved, and our basic conclusion is that our traditional methods, our traditional way of working is not up to these tasks that we see in the world today. And this is the big thing.
And that was Matti Pitkänniitty of the Finnish Border Guard.
What's your view? Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909.
Would you like a weekly summary of the top stories from Finland sent straight to your inbox? Just sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to yle.fi/news and look for the newsletter tab at the top of the page. That's yle.fi/news.
Protests have erupted around the world over the death of Mahsa Amini in Iran. She was a 22-year-old woman who had been detained by the nation's morality police in Tehran earlier this month, but died in police custody.
There's been a public outpouring of anger over Amini's death in and outside of Iran. The reason for her arrest by the morality police was allegedly for wearing her Islamic headscarf too loosely.
Iranians in Finland have come together in Helsinki to demonstrate and cut their hair in public to protest Amini's death, which some observers say is a tipping point in Iran.
Freedom for Iran!
Freedom for Iran!
I spoke with Azar Sarikani, who co-organized the rally we saw in the capital's Kampi district last weekend.
I see demonstrations happening in Finland, in Sweden, Norway, in Canada, many cities. Like in Finland, there has been demonstrations in Oulu, Tampere, Turku, Jyväskylä, and so on. Obviously also Helsinki.
Now, some of you have been asking us here at Yle News why we haven't covered the ongoing protests in Iran since they're attracting such global attention. So I just want to take a second to explain that our mandate is to cover Finnish domestic news in English. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. You know, Zina, I often see various nationalities gathering together in Finnish town centres, demonstrating for causes that are often thousands of kilometres away, and I'm always interested in what motivates them.
I think it boils down to solidarity and a sense of being part of a larger movement. I mean, the overarching purpose of protests is to demand change, right?
That's right. As well as drawing attention to perceived injustices. Here's Azar again.
This gives me hope that people are now united and chanting together that they don't want to let the dictator make decisions for them anymore.
You can join the conversation too. We want to hear what's on your mind. Just leave us a voice note or text on WhatsApp. Our number is +358 44 421 0909.
It's time to look at the week's news.
It is. Authorities in the Finnish city of Hanko will be taking over two apartment buildings owned by Russian oligarch Boris Rotenberg. Tenants have been unable to pay rent for months due to EU sanctions on Russia.
The Finnish immigration service Migri is setting up 16 new reception centres across the country. The move comes as the number of people applying for asylum or temporary protection in Finland hits a record high.
Meanwhile, the price of food in Finland is set to rise by an average rate of 11% this year, according to the Pellervo Economic Research Institute. Their report also noted that meat and dairy products could cost 20% more by the end of this year.
Staying with economic news, consumer confidence hit a new low this month. Statistics Finland reported that people's confidence in their own finances, as well as that of the country's, was at its lowest level since records began in 1995.
And prosecutors have charged the former CEO of the privately run psychotherapy center Vastamo with data protection offenses. The company's database was breached on at least two separate occasions in 2018 and 2019, leading to extortionists demanding payment of nearly €500,000.
And finally, digital streaming giant Netflix has announced plans to set up a game production studio in Helsinki, saying the Finnish capital was chosen because it's home to some of the best game talent in the world.
Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some of the trials and tribulations of learning Finnish, especially when you're a foreigner in Finland.
Ronan, we must have hit a nerve with that topic because so many of you have reached out to us. So, two main things have come across in many of the messages I've read: the clunkiness of some Finnish courses and the difficulty people face in actually being able to use the Finnish they have learned because Finns often switch to English.
Yep, I have a wealth of experience of encountering Finns who love having the chance of conversing in English with a native speaker. What about you, Zina?
Yes, this does happen to me too, but I've found that the best way to counter this is to keep stubbornly replying in Finnish. It does eventually work, though it's sometimes draining.
I can definitely relate. And while looking into this issue a bit more, I discovered the Institute for the Languages of Finland has found that it isn't Finnish grammar or even vocabulary that's the hardest for new learners. It's having the opportunity to speak Finnish. And this is precisely what our listener, Elizabeth Bessonen, who was born to Finnish parents in Australia, wrote in to tell us. She says, and I quote, "When I feel confident to speak, I often have people confront me and ask why my accent is different. And if I mention I'm from Australia, they then start speaking English and think I don't understand Finnish."
With all of this in mind, I checked out a free Finnish language cafe in Helsinki's Kamppi neighborhood, where learners, regardless of level, have the opportunity to practice several times a week. Here's Bernard Gerlich, originally from Austria, who decided to incorporate Finnish language learning into his cafe.
Well, I think what you probably have to do is you have to develop a certain level of Finnish that allows you to keep the conversation going, even when people switch to English. So I think what often happens is that when you stumble and you can't find the words, people switch to English, and then it's kind of hard to stay in Finnish when English is a lot easier.
I'm Honoka. I'm from Japan. And I have been living here for about, in total, 1.5 years.
And what's been the most challenging thing about learning Finnish?
Maybe to speak Finnish with Finnish people. Before coming to here, I feel kind of scared about speaking Finnish. But after coming to here and practice speaking Finnish every day, I get some confidence.
Taha from Iraq was on the same page as Honoka.
Actually, I prefer same talk with the people face to face better than the same official course. The official course is so difficult. Just the grammar and read and write, that not enough. But talk with the people face to face, that better for me.
That all sounds like a very good way for people to practice with each other.
So it seems, and that includes cafe owner Bernard.
So one of the reasons for starting the cafe was to learn Finnish, because I thought I'll have opportunity to talk to people every day. Selling coffee is not very complicated. You know, the options are kind of limited. You don't have to have a lot of vocabulary, but every day you get to practice and you get to listen. And then, of course, I have to do all the paperwork and the communication with suppliers or with the authorities in Finnish. So I would say I've really improved since starting the company. I mean, if otherwise it's been very challenging and maybe not always as economically rewarding as I would hope it to be. One other goal that I had was actually to create jobs for people who want to learn Finnish. Because one of the dilemmas that we have is that if you don't speak Finnish, you can't get a job where Finnish is needed. But if you can't get a job where Finnish is needed, it's hard to get to that level of the language.
And that was Bernard Gerlich of the Good Coffee Company in Helsinki. You know, Ronan, it's interesting that he started a business to help improve his own Finnish. It's a new twist on many of our previous shows about immigrants going into business for themselves to break into the job market, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I really like this idea of language exchanges. And I guess they would be relatively easy to start up as well. So what does our audience think? Could language cafes be the answer to getting some Finnish practice out there in the wild? Let us know on WhatsApp on +358 44 421 0909. And that's about all we have time for today. I'm planning to get a bit of that fresh autumn air by doing a bit of hiking this weekend. But I'm also hoping for a good streaming tip, Zina, for when I am back indoors. What do you have for us this week?
Well, we're entering the season of hats, gloves, scarves, and colds, so I'm drawn to health right now. And on that front, there's a documentary called When Big Tech Targets Healthcare. It explores Google, Amazon, and Apple pushing into the healthcare market. I realize that in the U.S., there's already a Zuckerberg hospital, while Amazon delivers prescriptions right to your door.
I'm not sure what I think about all of that, so I'll definitely need to watch it. Thanks for the tip. And so before we go, we'd like to thank you, our audience, for listening to and supporting All Points North, and especially for all the messages you send us. Please do keep them coming via WhatsApp. I'd also like to give another big thanks to our audio engineer, Anders Johansson. And please don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the latest news from Finland in English at yle.fi/news. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.